I want to thank so many of you for responding to my call for wearing red. This is the best I could do. I thought I had a red dress in the closet, and then this morning I couldn't find it. So I think I have given it away without remembering. Anyway, this is the we call it the birthday of the church. Actually, it's the continuation, but in a new way, the day of Pentecost. And so our scripture this morning is from Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. Please listen for the word of God. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native tongue? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Will you pray with me? O God, whom we long to know, burning fire within our souls, grant to us the tongues like fire, the sound of rushing wind, your descending Holy Spirit, that in knowing your word, we might know your presence, that in following your ways, we might live in your light. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The new normal. That's the way we talk about how things are different after a life-altering event. A couple's first baby is born. Now family life will never be the same. Same with death. After my sister-in-law's father died, she said to me, "Now my brother and I have to find a new way to be family." You get promoted at work. Suddenly people treat you differently and you have more responsibility. You step up to the challenges and expectations. A virus takes over the world, and suddenly nothing about life is familiar. People are wondering if wearing masks, working from home, and physical distancing are going to be the new normal. Change is difficult and stressful, so we try to do what's familiar settle into routines, find the new normal, now defined by circumstances we never imagined. For Jesus' first disciples, things were changing at a rapid pace. Every few days or weeks, it seems things were different. If they had roller coasters back then, they were on one. After the crucifixion, a couple of them tried to go back to the way it was. They went back fishing to the same old, same old. But then they saw Jesus resurrected. That was new. And they were joyful and dubious all at the same time and ready once again to take on the oppressors and make him king. But over the next 40 days, they could see that things weren't as they had been. Resurrected Jesus was the same, but different. They could see they'd have a new way of relating to him from now on. On the 40th day, they watched him ascend into heaven, where God would install him on his very own throne to reign over heaven and earth. And then, 10 more days, waiting, because he told them to just sit tight in Jerusalem until he sent them what he'd promised. They didn't go back to fishing. Armed with joy and a little bit more understanding, they did as Jesus said, meeting together constantly and always in prayer, but anticipating something that would make everything different again. And on the day of Pentecost, it came. It begins with the disciples all together in one room. I like that this fantastic event happens while they're in community. The Spirit comes to us individually, but that he comes to the whole group at once in the beginning means something too. There's strength in numbers. There's encouragement and confirmation of what we believe. Though God calls individuals, we are never alone. In his grace, he puts us in families and worshiping communities so that we can use our gifts to serve each other, so that there's authority and accountability, so that we can learn to forgive and love the way we've been forgiven and loved by God. Anyway, there they are together, probably worshiping, and out of the blue they hear a sound. I try to imagine in my mind a violent windstorm. It's not much of a stretch. Many nights in Haines, I lie awake at night listening to the wind outside our house. I can hear loose things banging and rolling around outside and waves crashing on the shore. If you think God is gentle, serene, maybe of that still small voice, think again. Not that God can't be gentle with us, but this story is showing us a different side of God. The word wind is the same in Hebrew as spirit and breath. In the beginning, God breathed into the man and he became a living being. In this new beginning, Jesus blew like a stormy wind and breathed into the apostles a whole new bold, courageous life. A life of forgiveness for sin and true friendship with God. And then came the fire. Not really fire, but something that looked like tongues of fire landing on each of them there. Fire in the Bible often indicates God's presence. Like when Moses saw the burning bush, or Israel was led in the desert by a pillar of fire. And there are many other instances of fire as a metaphor for God's word, judgment, or presence. The Spirit came as wind and fire, giving the disciples new life and God's presence in a way that Jesus could not have been physically present with each of them had he remained on earth in his body. And with that, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Things will never be the same, and there will be a new normal empowered by the Holy Spirit. The first thing they did when Holy Spirit came upon them was to proclaim the wonders of God. Luke doesn't give any other details about what they said, but I assume they were talking about Jesus, how he came from God, and what he did, and how he loved them. But the surprise was that they were all talking in foreign languages. From the list in verses 8 through 11, Jerusalem was quite a cosmopolitan place. There were people from all the nations where Jews had been scattered over years of exile, from north, south, east, and west. Hearing their own first languages from these people, obviously from Galilee, amazed and confused most of the people. But no surprise, there were those who already opposed them, at least mildly. They made fun of them and accused them of being drunk. Well, this is not impossible. It was a party. You know Pentecost as the birthday of the church, the day that God's Spirit came and filled his disciples, and they began their apostolic mission witnessing to the good news in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. But actually, Pentecost had a long history. It was the festival of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the Jews would bring their first harvested grain to Jerusalem as a gift to God. It showed their gratitude and also their trust and their prayers that God would provide a good harvest for them. By the first century, it had also come to be a celebration of God giving the law to Israel, which is where the word Pentecost comes from. Pente, for 50 days after Passover. When the Israelites had the first Passover and fled from Egypt and they began their wilderness trek, 50 days later, they said, God gave Moses the law at Mount Sinai. So this celebration was twofold, a harvest festival and a religious celebration of God's law. And it was a time of joy and celebration. So for people to attribute their bizarre behavior to an all-night party maybe isn't so far off. But they weren't drunk. And maybe, like many preachers, Peter started off with a joke, saying they couldn't be drunk because it was only 9 o'clock in the morning, as if it would be a possibility later in the day. But the hecklers gave an opening to Peter. He took the opportunity, got the crowd's attention, and began to speak, to interpret for them what's happening. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, he goes to the prophet Joel and he says, "These are the last days." In the Old Testament, Holy Spirit played a significant part. It's not as if this is a new person of the Trinity, never heard of before. But the Spirit was usually given just to one person so that they could accomplish a specific task for a specific time. Now, as Joel prophesied so long ago, God is freely pouring out Holy Spirit on all God's people of all kinds, old and young, women and men, sons and daughters and servants. God is inclusive, welcoming every language and color into his kingdom, all who will call on him. This Spirit-empowered new normal happens in the last days. That phrase, the last days, has a specific meaning to the Jews. It was the time to come, which the prophets spoke of, when God would set up his chosen one on the throne of Israel. Their nation would be restored, and there would be peace. And there were other signs. The blind would be healed, the lame would walk, and good news would be preached to the poor. And according to Joel, all who call on the name of the Lord would be saved. And two things I want to say about that sentence, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. First, salvation here doesn't mean we'll say a prayer and then go to heaven when we die. It means we're going to be a part of this kingdom that God sets up, where his people are restored to health and wholeness, and even are participants in that restoration for people and the creation. It means God coming here and making things right and us being included in it. And second, when Peter quotes Joel and says, "All who call on the name of the Lord," he means Jesus. Joel said the Lord, meaning Yahweh, which is the personal name for Israel's God. But in the rest of Peter's sermon, which we didn't read all of today, he goes on to preach specifically about Jesus, the one who they crucified, but who God raised from the dead and made Lord and Messiah. When Peter says, "All who call on the name of the Lord," he means all who put their faith in this one man, Jesus. Jesus is Lord became the first creed of the Christian church. This is the mark of the community who belong to God. In those days, it was in direct opposition to the political structure where it was common to hear, "Caesar is Lord." No, whether in heaven or on earth, these disciples knew, believed, and preached Jesus is Lord. It is why they would get in trouble one after the other, all of them and many others eventually dying for their faith. But even while they lived, they suffered for it. If they didn't acknowledge the deity of Caesar, they couldn't participate in the politics or economy of their town because Caesar was everywhere. We don't worship our political leaders today, but Jesus is Lord is still not a commonly believed or understood concept. When we put our faith in him, it will put us in direct opposition to some of the people in our lives and some of the systems we live within. We will have to make hard decisions to follow him rather than do what seems right to the rest of the world. It may feel like baptism by fire. But Jesus is Lord means Jesus is alive, and he is now reigning in heaven in his human body, but he came back in the form of Holy Spirit to continue the transforming, restoring work he had begun and to spread his kingdom all over the world through the faithful work and preaching of his disciples. All this happens in the last days, days that continue to this day and on until Jesus returns to earth. We are in the last days. We are disciples empowered by the Spirit to keep the work going until he comes. It might not seem new to us. We take for granted that we have Holy Spirit from the time of our baptism, and his power working in people has been understood for 2,000 years. But we live in the normal that was so new to the first disciples on Pentecost. And the first work to be done was prophesying. That is, the apostles, now filled with the Holy Spirit, were to tell the good news of God's wonderful work to all the people. Remember, Jesus told them they'd be his witnesses. And with the Spirit's inspiration and power, they spoke boldly. We know Peter could be impulsive and brash, but he also was the one who denied Jesus on the night of his trial. No longer afraid for his life, no longer confused about what was happening, now he speaks the name Jesus with boldness. Peter even accuses the crowd of crucifying Jesus as if they'd driven the nails into his hands and feet themselves. What a change has come over him in just a few minutes. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And we can be sure it wasn't just Peter, but the whole community, 120 disciples to begin with, who were changed. The new normal would look like a whole community suddenly enlivened and engaged in conversation, preaching, and evangelism. We didn't read to the end of the chapter, but after Peter's sermon in that one day, God added 3,000 to their number. From 120 believers to 3,120 in one day. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in and through believers who are willing to serve the Lord. When the Spirit came to the disciples on that Pentecost so long ago, people thought they were drunk. They were not afraid to speak boldly about God's love in Jesus Christ. They attracted crowds of people. The Spirit does not always act this way. Many times He works quietly, through people working behind the scenes in deep prayer or in humble acts of service, not drawing attention to themselves. God deals with us all differently according to our gifts and to the problem in front of us. He knows what is needed when. But this should make us think, if not personally, individually, then as a church, when were we last inspired to do something outrageous that might make people think we're a little drunk? What languages are we learning to speak or allowing Him to speak through us in order to reach the folks in our community? Obviously, we all speak English here in Haines, but metaphorically, what languages are we surrounded by? What cultures do we need to engage with Holy Spirit's help to bring more and more people into discipleship? If it is normal for a person with the indwelling Holy Spirit to do powerful things, perhaps it is appropriate for us to ask ourselves individually, do I believe that? Am I allowing Holy Spirit to work through me in power to bring healing and restoration to my neighbors? Whether in large, loud, crazy foreign languages or in quiet, humble, but faithful work, am I seeing God working through my life? Or do I stifle the Holy Spirit, trying to stay in control of my own life? I'm glad it's a windy day today. I told Al this morning, God is helping me. When you go out of here, stand in the wind. Walk into it and feel its power as it blows on your face. Let it remind you of Holy Spirit's power within you. Wind and fire, symbols of new life and God's presence. As they blow through our congregation, may we receive the gift and the power. May we make our neighbors a little confused and quite curious. And when they come to see what's happening, may we speak the truth to them, teaching them that Jesus is Lord and giving them the chance to call on His name and be saved. Amen.